This is Evangelist George McTyre of the Word of God Ministry, and I want to give you a little heads up on something here. At the start of the lesson here, I will be mentioning two different dates. One will be the date that the message was first published, and the second date will be the date that the message was transcribed, if you will, to audio. The reason why I'm giving you the dates is because during the reading of this message, I might make mention of some people, places, things, or events that were relevant at the time that the message was first published, which may or may not be relevant for today. And if that is the case, if I can remember, I'll try to give you a heads up on it. However, let me say this. When it comes down to the Word of God, His word is always relevant yesterday, today, and forever. It never ceases to be relevant. And those of you that are exposed to it would do well to take heed to it and to adjust your lives accordingly. Our message for this session is a message that was first published back in the month of February of the year 2004, and it's being put on audio in the month of February of the year 2025. And our subject scripture is taken from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter number 8 and verse number 10. And if you have the scriptures available, you will find these words recorded. It says, "And he said, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not or might not understand." The title for this message, Paint by the Numbers, or Connect the Dots. 50 years ago, well, according to when this was written, it was over 50 years ago. It's still over 50 years now, but it's close, like I said, when I was about 6 years old. Well, I'll be 79. In a few months, if the Lord's willing. Well, not willing, in about 6 months or so, I'll be 79 if the Lord is willing to allow me to be here. So we're talking about roughly 73 years ago. When I was about 6 years old, I can remember my mother bringing home a new exciting toy, if you can call it that. Actually, it was more like a puzzle. It was a piece of paper with a lot of funny designs on it, and the designs each had a number. The idea was to take that paper and use the paints that came with it, which had numbers on them as well, and paint each design with its corresponding paint color. Well, after I did that, to my surprise, a picture emerged. This was amazing to me because I surely didn't see any type of picture on the paper before I painted it. About the same time, she, my mom, bought me another weird paper that, unlike the other paper, had nothing on it but a lot of numbers with dots by them. All I had to do was take a pencil or some other writing instrument and draw a line from one dot to another in the natural order of the numbers, and voila! Out came another picture. A picture that could be readily identified. Of course, the packages that these came in had what the finished picture was supposed to look like, so I could see when I finished how close I came to getting it right. Now, at any time, I could have connected the dots any way I wanted to, or painted the designs with any colors I wanted to. The only problem is, if I did it my way, then I would miss what the image on the paper really was. Now, I said all of that to say this. In order to get to the right image, I had to follow the rules that governed that particular puzzle. That is the way the manufacturers designed it, and that is the only way it would work. Well, I said all that to say this. In like manner, when it comes to getting the correct image of God, we have to follow certain principles in a certain order in order to get what it is that God wants us to see and understand. You see, today, just like back in the times of old and New Testaments, people had all different sorts of ideas about God, and for good reason. God only revealed himself to a selected few individuals after Adam and Eve sinned against him and were kicked out of the Garden of Eden. With the close fellowship that they had broken, man had to try to get back to him through all sorts of means. They prayed to the sun, the moon, the stars. They made all sorts of idols. They sacrificed any and everything to these man-made gods. They even sacrificed themselves and their children to them. They began to believe that certain things were pleasing to these gods and others weren't. Mind you, all of these actions were vain attempts to get in touch with God. Now, for God to have created us to worship him and then not make some sort of attempt to reveal to us what it is he wanted us to do would be unfair. Especially if he is particular about what he wants from us. If he just accepted any old thing that we presented to him, then there would be no need for the Bible and the preaching of the gospel. The Bible and the preaching of the gospel are the revelation of who God is and who we are and what He wants us to be. But just because you have a Bible and read it, and just because you go to church and hear a preacher, is not necessarily pleasing to God. Sure, it is good if you are doing these things, but if you are getting the right image of God from your reading or the preaching, then it is all in vain. There are a bunch of well-meaning folk that read their Bibles religiously and attend church every time the doors open up, yet they don't know God at all. Why? It is because they don't have the correct image of the one true God. Oh, sure, they have an image of Him, but it is not the right image of Him. Example, just recently a certain church denomination is on the verge of splitting up over the ordination of a man that is openly gay. That means he is still a practicing homosexual, and the church hierarchy saw fit to promote him to the rank of bishop. This action alone reveals that these people have no idea of who God really is. Their image of Him is tainted, to say the least, and an abomination at the worst. You see, anyone that knows the true God knows that He hates the sin of homosexuality. It is an abomination to Him. There is no way that He will accept anyone that is continuing in their sin in an unrepentant state into heaven. Therefore, this man shouldn't be in any office in the church, let alone the office of bishop. Read what the qualifications of a bishop should be in 1 Timothy chapter 3, starting at verse number 1, we find these words. It says, "This is a true saying. If a man," now notice that, if a man, it don't say if a homosexual or a woman desire the office of a bishop, that he desireth a good work. Verse number 2, "A bishop then must be blameless." In other words, you can't accuse them for anything because they're without blame, because they are essentially in God's eyes perfect. "They must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach." Verse number 3, "not given to wine, no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous, verse number 4. One that ruleth his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. Verse number 5. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Now that's the qualifications of a bishop. Man should be a husband of one wife, and whether he has kids or not, you know, that's optional there necessarily, in fact, whether he has kids or not. But the whole thing is, it sets up and tells us exactly what a bishop is supposed to be. And notice the part where it says that he is blameless. That means he has no sin that people can accuse him of in him. Now, when you talk about a practicing homosexual, not only is this person still participating in the sin of homosexuality, but it is an abomination in the sight of God. So that right there lets you know that if you think God's going to accept something like that, you don't know the real God. But anyway, back to the message. And like I said, it said, notice the scriptures say, amongst other things, that a bishop must be the husband of one wife. Notice the term must be. That means there is no other thing that is acceptable. A gay man has no wife because a homosexual has no dealings with women. The scriptures go on to say that this is necessary because if a man can't rule his own house, how can he rule or take care of God's church? The point I want you to see from this passage of scripture is a bishop needs to have experience, good experience in dealing with family situations in order to run a church whose operations deals with all of the relationships of all the families that attend. How can a person who has no such experience direct others in how to deal with marital and child problems when they themselves have no experience? Yet there are churches that feel this is not a problem. They have the wrong image of God and are going nowhere. That is only one of thousands of scenarios that go on every day with people that don't follow the directions that God has given us to follow. It is impossible for anyone to follow the paths that they think they should follow and come up with the correct image of God. This is why the world is so messed up. Everybody doing their own thing, connecting the dots that should not be connected, and painting the wrong colors in the wrong designs and coming out with a distorted picture. In preaching the gospel and studying the Bible, most people do so with a preconceived notion of what God is like. That notion is God is love and he loves everyone, and therefore, no matter what anyone does or thinks, they will all go to heaven when they die. Nothing can be further from the truth. Presenting God like he is all love and mercy and grace is like trying to pass off a one-sided coin. It just ain't happening. Now, while God is all of the above, that is only half of what he is. Look at these scriptures. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse number 24 says, "For the Lord thy God is a consuming fire, even a jealous God." Hebrews chapter 10, verse 31 says, "It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God." Revelations 20, starting at verse number 14, it says, "And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death." Verse 15, "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Romans chapter 12, verse number 19 says, "Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord." Does this sound like a God that is just all love and merciful? So just how does one go about finding the correct image of God? First, you must believe that there is a God. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 6, "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." It is not enough to just believe that there is a God. James chapter 2, verse number 19 says, "Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble." Notice the word faith. This is the first and primary step that is needed to get God to provide you with the necessary tool needed to find out who he really is, the fullness of him I'm talking about. That is followed by the fact that you must have a mind to really get into seeking that revelation of him, and that takes time and effort. Most Christians fall woefully short in this area and therefore miss it. That is why we have such a wide range of images of him. We take a little bit of information and build an image that is, and then stick to it. And if by any chance other scriptures reveal that what we thought was right isn't, then we either try to make it fit or dismiss the Bible by saying that man wrote it and that it contradicts itself. Now, it is true that man wrote it, but God dictated it just like a secretary takes a dictated letter from her boss. A better example is orders that are given in the military. Many times, officers will give written orders to the personnel of lower rank or position to move to a different location or do something else. The officers usually tell their secretary to write the order and then they sign it. Now, just because the secretary may be a lowly private that barely has 90 days in the military, the letter he writes has the full power of the one that dictated it because he signed it. That is the same as the officer personally telling the person what is what. Well, God did the same thing, and he signed it with the blood of Jesus. While Jesus was here, he was a living, breathing, human example of what the Father was like. He showed love and compassion, but he also showed displeasure by chasing the money changers out of the temple with a whip. Read Matthew chapter number 21, verses 12 and 13, and figuratively cursing out the religious leaders in Matthew chapter 11, verses 20 through 24. And in Matthew 23, verses 13 through 36, and warning of the punishment for evil deeds. The message from God is, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son," John 3:16, and "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap." Galatians chapter 6, verse number 7. The real key or tool to guide us in connecting the right dots, putting the right colors in the right designs, is the Holy Spirit, aka the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of Truth, or just plain Spirit with a capital S. This is the only assistance that we have, and it is only given to those that are serious or diligently seeking God. Jesus said in chapter 16, verse number 12, he says, "I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now." Verse 13, "Howbeit, when he," the Spirit of Truth, "is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall speak, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come." And then verse number 14, he shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. It is the Spirit that enabled Christ to do the things that he did, and it is that same Spirit that will enable the Christian to study and rightly divide the word of truth as found in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 15. Only when the word is rightly divided will you get the true picture of God. Many people, including most preachers, think they really know God, but they don't. As a result, they lead people by the thousands into certain destruction, because they are blind guides leading the blind, and like Jesus said, they will both fall into the ditch or end up in hell. Matthew chapter 15 and verse number 14. One thing it behooves all of us to do, and that is, don't take anyone's word only when it comes to something that appears to be wrong. With so much at stake, ask God through diligent prayer and study, and he will show you what is right. Remember, the only one that can reveal to you what they meant when you read something that they wrote is them. Well, that is the end of our message for this particular session, and I hope that you can begin to see the problem that we have in the church today when it comes down to the direction that the church is moving in, the direction a lot of preachers are leading their congregations in, and why we have so much confusion out here in the world as to what is and is not of God, what God does and does not do, what he likes and what he does not like, and why all of this stuff just seems to basically be a cloud that hangs in front of everybody's eyes because nobody can make heads or tails of it, when in actuality some that can make heads or tails of it, but when they try to say something about it or try to direct people about it, somebody's always interrupting them and saying, no, that's not the way it goes, because if that's the case, then this would be like this, and God is like this, and such a thing. And so they just want to keep things in a ball of confusion. But quite frankly, the only one that wants to keep people in confused is the devil. And the people need to realize that and get away from it, because otherwise you're going to continue to have situations like I said, this church that put this active homosexual as a bishop, and it's not only homosexual, but see, the homosexual is as worse as you can get. You can't really get too much worse than that. The only thing worse than that is somebody just committing, doing an abortion, because that's killing an innocent life. A life, as I say, those are God's babies that the people are killing. They don't realize that, but that's what it is. So you got them killing God's babies, and that's worse than being a homosexual. But the thing is, both of them are abominable in the sight of God, because they are what would be known as direct mounting direct opposition to what God is trying to do. In both instances, if God's planning on bringing a child into the world that might be somebody that is going to grow up and accomplish something great, if you abort the baby, then that's going to stop God from using that child that he intended to use. And so you're basically thwarting his plan. And see, unlike with Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ's birth was something that was set in divine order, where his birth was protected. God, you know, told Mary and Joseph to leave the country they were in and go to another country and things, and they did and stuff like that, because, you know, King Herod had told his soldiers to go around and kill all the firstborn babies, because he was trying to stop the birth of what he knew was prophesied in the Bible, as somebody that was going to come and form their own kingdom or take over the kingdom in this world and things like that. And King Herod was mistakenly led to believe that it was talking about that this child was going to grow up and take his rule away from him and his family. He wasn't going to have that. So he went after the firstborn of every in every household, because that's what he understood, that the child would be of a certain age or something like that. Anyway, it's the situation where God has specific plans. And when you endeavor to do something that directly interferes with those plans, then you got problems. And like I say, homosexuality is the other thing, because God says for the human beings, you know, to be fruitful and multiply. And you can't multiply, two men getting together can't multiply, two women getting together can't multiply. It takes a woman and a man to get together to do that. So that's the thing, is we got to get the right image of God so that we can be about doing what's necessary that's pleasing to him. So until we get together again, for another message from the Word of God. Let me just say to you and yours, until we do get together again, have a good day.